Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast. Back in the studio today with George and Ollie, and we finally feel like we have some space to breathe and just catch up a little bit. Just there's been a lot of news happening in the last month, a lot of big news, in fact. And today, I think we're gonna pass through it and give our yay or nay, give our takes on it all. So
our 3 cents,
yeah,
not 2 cents, our 3 cents, because it's 3 of us,
yeah. Mm. Well, this news, you know, I'm like, I feel like we should be consulted on a lot of these things, you know, when it comes to the Michael Johnson's Winners Alliance Track League or whatever it is, World Athletics giving out prize money. You guys, they should probably just run it by us, but they haven't. So in retrospect, we're going to go back and look at it and give them some advice. Mm.
It's definitely because we're a threat.
And then they'll probably take our advice and use it to make millions of dollars without us, but that's what we're prepared to do.
That's the sacrifice we're willing to make for the sport. Yeah. It's how selfless we are as a podcast.
I just noticed you two were dressed as business bros today with the vest top and the hoodie.
Matching.
I thought it might be cold down here today.
It's a little chilly.
I brought an extra layer.
It's a little chilly and I'm drinking an iced coffee courtesy of Ollie. Thank you, Ollie.
That's why I went hot coffee.
Which honestly, though, if you're listening to the podcast, watch this one because you got
just so you can see us.
Yeah, you got the business bros over here. We should do like a finance stock option maybe in this podcast.
I think that's in the notes. I think it's at the bottom of the notes.
You guys look like you could give me really good financial advice or really terrible financial advice.
I'm going to go through my portfolio.
Yeah.
See how my crypto is doing. See how much money I've lost.
Isn't crypto up?
It depends when you bought.
It was making a little run in the last... like a month ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's at close to an all-time high, which is good for everyone unless you bought it at the all-time high, which is when I bought it.
So I should buy it at the all-time high then?
No.
It's going to get high.
Ideally not.
Sure, it's going to get high.
Do you guys remember who influenced me to buy crypto?
I remember when you went on a little... We were still living at the first house when you went on a little crypto.
It was because of a certain somebody from Flagstaff.
Harvey.
Yeah, it's
Harvey. Holy shit. His influence has impacted your crypto.
He was on, I don't know, first 10 episodes of the podcast. And if you know him, like that makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah, it checks out.
He's very convincing. Or
he loves fads, you could say.
He'd be very good with a Wall Street character, you know. He could sell pens. He could, you know, sell me this pen. Harvey could do it.
We love that guy.
Just hold it for long enough.
That's what they say.
And it'll go up.
That's what unless it goes to zero, you know, one of those two options. Mm. So we'll see. I'm not selling it yet. I'm staying strong.
Finance so. Bros episode, soft launch.
Soft launch.
Yeah. Before we get into things today, we do have one more. Last week we had an extravaganza of bean shout outs. And today I have one more, which I think this also comes from Penn Relays, but it's been spread out to this week because this was handed to Mario, who then delivered it to me. And this is really sweet. It's from Allison and Ben Mercer. And they won this coffee in Madison racing the 100K championships. The US 100K championships, which I'm not sure if it's every year, but there's always a big ultra race, which just goes around the Arboretum, which is, I'm blanking now, I should know this. It's about a 10K loop, I believe. So it's just a lot of
like... It has markers, doesn't it? It has the markers.
It has mile markers out there and stuff.
Do you reckon we'll ever get one?
What?
Like, you know
what?
How, like, there's names of former... I guess it may be the American.
So they're all taken, unfortunately. But for those who don't know, such as George, all the mile markers at the Arb have an Olympian's name on them who is, like, related to Madison, which is pretty cool.
We wouldn't get that. We're too...
Who's on
far
there?
Gone.
I think Pascal.
Pascal's there.
Who's the really famous one? Susie Faber-Hamilton?
Yep.
Who's the most recent person? Like, who was the last person to fill it?
They're all old, I think.
Probably Pascal. Probably
not even... Moe's not...
No.
Mo should be on there. He's a medalist and big impact in Madison. So
it might be Pascal. I think they're all older ones.
You need to be on the half mile. You need to put a half mile.
Update in the half.
Let's get in there. But yeah, these beans come in from Anodyne Coffee Roasting, which I think it is a Milwaukee company. And it looks very familiar. I've never bought their beans before, but I think a lot of the good cafes in Madison use their beans. So thank you very much for these. We're going to enjoy them. Little throwback to the Madison days. So before we get into this these big news topics, we're going to do a little check-in as well. Ollie and I have been on a... We've been checking in a lot recently.
We haven't checked out yet.
Yeah, we're looking to check out, and it's George's time to check in on.
Just a lot of pressure.
Just give a vibe check on the boulder training while we've been traveling around. I mean, George did make a... Does pacing count as a season open or not? It doesn't really, does it?
I felt like it did.
It does.
I put a number on.
It's the best way to...
I warmed up with the guys.
I think it's the best way to open your season.
I did love a comment on your post.
Was it Caleb's?
I think it was Caleb's where he said, best way to start the season is a DNF.
and then it's only...
Only up from there. Yeah. So good.
Sitting the bar really low with a DNF.
Shout out to that comment. It was unreal. I enjoyed it.
That was good.
It is like a great way to get it going. But yeah, George, how have things been going down here in Boulder? Well, we've been away.
Vibe check? Good, I would say. Right when... Literally, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but when you got back, Boulder was just getting really nice. Like, when you left, I feel like everything in Boulder was dead.
100%.
Brown, gray.
Morgan took Boulder
still.
With him.
By the time when Morgan got back, it was like, it's like beautiful and green here now. If you don't get a day like today, when there's 60-mile-an-hour winds, this is like maybe the best time of year in Boulder. Mm. Like, the fall is obviously really nice, but the spring can be if you get a day that's not blowing like
it is today.
And
the wind takes a break, for sure.
Then it's... pretty perfect. And it's when training's getting... It's that weird phase between indoor and outdoors that feels like a really long time from like early March until May, June. But then all of a sudden it's in like... In two weeks, like everything is all go. Mm-hmm. So there's like a... We're in that phase where it's all just coming to a head. But the last few weeks have been good. Nice having the boys back. Ollie's back. Morgan's back. Jonas is back.
We had the big train going.
We really did.
For the workout the other day.
Six of us, I think.
It was pretty sick, honestly. And it was cool because we had a few, fans out there.
We did a Jingi special.
Yeah, a Jingi special.
25 quarters.
Not as fast as him, but...
Is that a Jakob workout?
He does it.
I think it's the one he said he does once a week for like the last 10 years or something.
Oh, really?
Wow. Quite he does it way quicker, us. Doesn't he?
I don't fucking know.
I think he does.
Let's not give him too much credit. Wait, I shouldn't have brought him up.
Does he do that in a double day? Or
it's probably just an afternoon workout.
He might be doing threshold in the morning.
And no sets.
Yeah.
No sets like we had. Mm-hmm. But what, we have seven people in a nice little train?
Is that six or seven?
I
counted six.
Three of us, Yared, Mario, Jonas.
Yeah.
Six. Because if Joe was there, it's seven. That's the team.
Yeah, and then Ollie and I had a good one a few days before that, a little slightly speedier one.
Yeah, the 6-3-1.
Things are getting quite fun.
It's getting to the fun time of year with the training for sure.
It's also like I'm pretty sore yesterday, today, because it's like when you were starting to ramp up the workouts, but the volume has stayed also
the same,
pretty high. So it's quite a toll on the body, but we're holding together and yeah, excited for where it's going to leave us in a few weeks.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And looking forwards, you're racing the mile. Is it a mile or 1500?
It's a mile.
Mile at Pre, which is May 20, what is it? It's like 23rd or something. It's not the last weekend. It's the one before that.
It is.
Yeah.
It's about to the Tina from Bob's Burgers. I don't know. Near end of May. And then Oslo's the next week, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oslo's the end of May and then another Diamond League and then another Diamond League.
And then
it's all
gone. Championships. Yeah.
European Championships is coming up quick.
Yeah, I can't wait to race it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like, you got Josh Kerr.
It's a lot of fun to watch, actually.
Yeah, it's a shame Josh can't race it because he's American.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real shame. But we can race it because Australia and New Zealand are part of the European Union. I don't know if many people knew that, but we actually just...
He didn't run Europeans last time.
No, because he's American.
Josh? No.
Yeah, when Mario made on.
I think that was one of those ones where he just...
He shut it down at Eugene.
No, I'm done. Yeah.
He's like, but I'm American. I don't run that stuff.
It's really... The timing of Europeans is so weird this year because normally it's after... Like
the major
or Olympics, and this time it's like almost 2 months before the Olympics. I think it's so early.
Yeah, probably like 6 weeks.
It's 4 weeks, or it's 3 or 4 weeks before or the national championships, which is
it'll just, be a walk in the park. I'm sure.
Early, are we getting into that already?
No, just a little teaser for what's ahead.
I mean,
The other chicken is I've been doing quite a lot of hurdles finally, which is also another thing to add in at this time of year. So it's all just quite a lot going on. But I'm a little further ahead than I was last year, which isn't saying much, but I started very late.
Well, last year you won a world champion, so I feel like you are a little further ahead.
Maybe. I'm talking hurdling.
Okay.
Only. So but I started
last year.
I only started a few weeks ago, but I didn't have to teach myself from square one, so that was nice. That was like a miserable month to 6 weeks last year when I started hurdling, thinking it was always going to be like that, but then it became quite fun. And they've just started to feel like I'm making a bit of progress over some hurdles, so that's been a nice feeling.
Sweet. I can't wait to start hurdling as well.
Me too, yeah. Break my ankle.
Jumping over those
Or break
barriers.
My hip or break something. I feel like I would be the worst hurdler of all time. I would break my head probably, falling face first into the, not even to the pit, like the other jumps. What's it called? What's the steeple pit? Is it called?
What, the water?
The water jump?
The water pit? Jump. That's
water
it.
Jump.
I was calling it the pit.
Yeah.
I think it is a water pit still.
It's a pit.
I think they say that.
It's a pit of water, filled with water. That'd be sick. Take a little dive.
So eventually I'll run one of those. Not far away.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
June. That's all I'll say for now.
So very exciting. Very exciting. And yeah, it's been good to be back with the crew here in Boulder with some on and off weather. Mostly super nice. And it's really green, as George mentioned. And the flowers are looking beautiful. The funny thing with Boulder, though, is this doesn't last very long. What do we give it?
Before the summer burns it off?
Yeah, what do we
give it? Probably
like 1 month of green.
Right now, I'd give it 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's all gone once it gets a little bit too hot, a little bit too dry. So we got to make the most of it while we're here. But with the checkout out of the way, I think it's time to just tick off some of these news topics. So the big one, which has been, there's been like little drops of, they're kind of just, like it's like they're giving a little breadcrumb trail for us to follow. Like Michael Johnson, he's just dropping little things every 2 weeks or so, like big news press release stuff. Actually, if you follow him on Twitter, he tweets like 1,000 times a day. So that's a lot of breadcrumbs on his Twitter. But in regards to his track league,
bread.
Yeah, he's giving you a loaf of bread once a day. The Winners Alliance. I don't know if that's, I think that's the investment.
I was gonna say, I hope it's not the name.
No, I think it's unnamed. It's unnamed so far.
Okay.
And I think Winners Alliance is,
isn't that the company that,
the company? And it's weird because I think I might be totally making this up, but I think it's like the investing arm of like the Tennis Players Association or something. There's some link there.
So how do you,
I think that
how
is right.
The attention of that.
They just, I don't know. They believe in Michael Johnson, I guess, but they've given him, he's raised 30 mil, a cool 30 mil from the investors, and it's all ramping up for what will be a 2025 launch. So it's all starting next year. I imagine it's kind of like a big lead into LA, which is, I mean, amazing timing. So perfect. I think they're going to drop a lot more news in June, they said.
I wonder who the first athlete will be to sign with that league, because I'm sure he will sign athletes to the league.
30 mil is a lot, but it's also not a lot. You could burn through 30 mil
very
real
quickly.
Quick.
Yeah, so the like agencies and stuff that they've brought on so far, I imagine, are really expensive. Like they've got all these big time creative, like sports specific agencies that are worked in like other big ones like F1 and stuff. So that's a lot of money right there through all those marketing firms. When it comes to athletes,
I feel like they're going to need another round of funding.
They probably will. When it comes to athletes, I have no idea how they're going to do it because, well, okay, so right now it is hard to speculate because there's not really much information at all on how the league will look.
We don't even know what it looks like, yeah.
I feel like he's hinted at what events he'd like to see, right? It was just...
What did he say?
Only running events.
No field?
I don't... Well, I feel like he was...
I actually don't know.
Is that inaccurate?
I
feel like
it.
In his early days talking about the league he'd like to see, I'm sure there was no field.
Yeah, if there is field, I imagine it's very limited.
And also,
limited.
Him being him, I don't think it'll be distance-based at all. It'll be very sprint-based.
Yeah, that's a hard thing.
There was definitely at least a 1,500, maybe an 800.
But I think it'd be, knowing him, he obviously respects all the events, but I think he'd be more focused on the events that he
was definitely not going to be a 10K. Even the Diamond League doesn't have those.
No, but I'm thinking more
leave
of
the 10K out of this.
We still do we know if it's going to be a 15 or 8? We it might be 800, might be the max. We don't know. Like
it'd be really so interesting if there's a 15, and then like you guys get like offers. What are you going to do?
I don't think I'd be getting offered straight away. I think Yared and maybe some American, like big top dogs would, and then it'd probably trickle down. But
a top dog.
You
guys are little, top dogs.
I've been out for a while.
Little trinkle down to you.
Little trinkle down to
trinkle
me.
Trinkle down effect.
Eventually, Ray will be like, "Yeah, everyone else has said no. Here you go." But it'd be interesting.
Well,
to
that
see
one that's not on that's not on Michael Johnson. That's on Membrane. Isn't he there? Isn't that his
Carl
also
Membrane's
part of the news?
Promoted.
Yeah. Big news.
What's his role?
Big news. I think he's
it's like athlete director or something.
Something like that, in charge of athletes. So Kyle Merber has left Citrus Mag. And I think that's also, I don't know if it's the end of the lap count or not. It's the end of him doing the lap count, but I don't know.
The end of him?
I don't know if it's the end of lap count itself. I don't know if someone else will take it over. But yeah, he's done with Citrus Mag, which is like pretty big. I mean,
he was big for it.
He was huge for them. Yeah. I think with the personality and just like his love of the sport and everything he would do, so amazing, makes it very easy to follow. And he has just so much enthusiasm, which is hard to find. So, I mean, massive pickup for Michael Johnson. Sad for Citrus Mag.
I wonder.
I'm pretty sure he's got my phone number. So
yeah, I wonder if
he needs to reach out about athletes.
Well, this is the thing, right?
I think he's got my number.
Hey, why have we not got a contract?
If they create this league. I would see that Kyle and Michael Johnson would make Sidious the main media outlet for that league.
I'm sure they'll be involved.
Yeah, they'll be involved in some way. So I'm sure it's not complete goodbye. I'm sure they'll be working together, but obviously he's not officially with them anymore. But I'm sure there'll be collaborations with them in the future. It just makes sense. Like, you have a league like that, you want to, you know, make sure the media content is spewing out.
I can tell you this, like, compared to the current state of the sport, because this is like a lot of what I would do if I had a league. I would like
you do have a league, we just haven't got funding yet.
yeah it does exist in theory. You would design everything so that it is way easier for the media to be even more involved. You have teams and stuff that have their own like media marketing stuff. Like, you just make it as you have to make it you have in this day and age, you have to do things with your sport to make it as successful on social media as possible. So you have to make it very like clippable, and you have to really hit that stuff hard. A lot of like behind the scenes stuff. I think like, yeah, they'll be super involved in that. I mean, it'll be Citrus Mag does pretty well. Like, they're, I'm pretty sure, for like, you know, the documentary that's meant to come out about the sprinters. I think like Chris he's a big part of that. Like, he's the Will Buxton.
Is he?
I think he is. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some similar things where they have them as, yeah, as you said, like a major media part of it to help tell the story of it to everyone. Yeah. So I think they'll be very, very pushing that stuff pretty hard.
Just need to take pointers from Liv.
Yeah. What did Liv do? Just sign?
I don't
just
actually
pay,
know.
Just pay the athletes enough money. That's pretty much
That's
it.
That's pretty much it.
That was what it boiled down to. But I couldn't believe how much content I was seeing from Adelaide Liv.
Yeah.
And the number of people that were going. Like, specifically to Adelaide Live. Maybe that's just because I knew people that were going. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't really seen any content from any other Live event until that one.
I mean, they did. I don't know the specifics, but I know that, for example, like, they hired, like, those meme guys pretty much. Like, those comedian guys. Didn't they hire them to be part of the guys that heckle the players?
Oh, yeah.
Like, doing stuff like that is how you succeed.
Those guys are funny.
Like, there's no formula. You can't, like, force, like, being viral, but you can do everything to put yourself in the best like
position for that to happen,
that stuff to go up. So getting stuff like that on board is definitely, like, I think a big part of having success in this day and age. And so that stuff would be so good. But I really do think it comes down to just having enough money to secure athletes to contracts so that they race each other. You know, I don't know. See, it's so hard to speculate, but like, I wonder how many events there'll be in a year. Is it like 10?
I was just thinking of speculating.
10 maybe?
And they're all going to be new events. I feel like that's the difference between...
In the US?
Location.
Is it just
as well.
In the US?
Is it US? Is it global? What are the main sponsors for that? Are they like corporate sponsorships, or are they going to get shoe brands involved?
I think this league will have a way easier time to get sponsors compared to like a current meet.
I agree.
I wonder if that will then allow people to wear jerseys with...
Oh,
sponsors
yeah.
on them.
Well, this
that
is,
would be a easy way to get a lot more sponsors. Just have athletes wear it.
I really wonder how I'm excited to see how this plays out in terms of how World Athletics responds, because there's kind of two ways of doing it. There's like, this is just like exists like within World Athletics, you know, like everything is like a World Athletics certified meet. Like they have to time everything so that it like fits in well with the current calendar, or you just say like, fuck it. And you like, you're an aggressor pretty much where you're taking these athletes away from like what maybe World Athletics wants these athletes to do, you know,
like World Athletics, like whether or not these events count towards world ranking or
World Athletics wants athletes to do the Diamond League, you know, like World Athletics is like, that's what they want. Whereas is this taking people away from that?
I mean, yes, it would. If the money,
I think the best thing that could do
the Diamond League, like the prize money for the Diamond League has gone down year after year after year, right? And that kind of sucks. But if
even if it stays the same, it's going down.
Yeah, it's going down. Johnson's league. If he creates a way in which the money's much more, opportunistic for runners or athletes, like it's just gonna make sense for them to be like, why would I go to a Diamond League, travel all the way to Stockholm and run this 3K steeple and get paid, you know, like 10 grand when I can do a race in Los Angeles that's close to me. It's 3K steeple, a lot of funding, a lot of media around it, and I get paid 20K for the win. Like it doesn't make a lot of sense to turn that down. So like if a Diamond League wants to respond to that, to Johnson's League, then they're just going to be like, all right, we're going to have to up the money, we're going to have to get more sponsors, we're going to have to figure out something to compete with it, because it's going to be, I think it's going to be a competitor. I don't think it's going to blend in. I think Johnson wants to go away and say, I can do this better than you guys, watch me, kind of attitude.
The Diamond League does need some pressure on it.
I agree.
To adapt, because that's the issue is that they have way too much power.
Monopoly.
They have a monopoly for sure. And like not to diss the Diamond League's meets, have been incredible. Like some of the best meets I've ever raced at, but 100%. Financially they probably need to be better for the athlete, because I think a lot of athletes still pay a lot of money to go to the Diamond Leagues and compete. And I think if you want to help the sport get better and you want to help the athlete, then you should hopefully financially help them as well. And maybe Johnson's League will do that.
You know what I think would be the best case scenario for the athletes? I think prize money still exists, but it's not as much of a focus. And what you could do instead is, if you're signing athletes, you sign athletes to contracts where they have to race unless they're injured, and then they get paid, like they have like a salary to be a part of the league, to be part of a team on a league. And so they already have guaranteed like this amount of money. And then on top of that, you're incentivized by a prize money individual meets. And then you would imagine there's an overall champion, like from most points or whatever, the way you want to do it. And that's probably the most money. Exactly. Like I'm sure that's how F1 works.
A lot of sports work like that, I imagine.
Yeah. Like I'm sure you get individual prize money, but then like the biggest money comes from being world champion.
I think that was kind of the big difference between PGA and LIV, is that PGA, you only make money if you make the cut for the weekend. So if you don't make the top half of the field, I think it is, 50 or 60 normally, like you walk home with nothing. Whereas a LIV contract is like a participation contract and then prize money on top of that.
So as an athlete, obviously you would prefer that.
Much more appealing. Yeah. So like that could also end up being like the Diamond League goes to Johnson and go, okay, we'll set up the same thing. They might try and do like a, you could see that changing it maybe if they're putting under that kind of pressure, because they'd want to keep those athletes that go to Diamond Leagues, like a lot of the Europeans who compete, like Femke Bol, for example, competes at a lot of Diamond Leagues. She's massive for them. If Johnson's like, hey, come to my league, I'll pay you more, I imagine the Diamond League will respond of like, hey, like we'll set up a contract or something like that. You could see that happening. I could see that happening.
And they have to put even more money into appearance fees than they already do.
We love it.
Or they just stop doing appearance fees and they do the contracts. Like salary, like you have
it's
to
essentially kind of what an appearance, it's appearance like a
fee
form.
Is a contract though.
It's kind of a different form of an appearance
fee.
It's
just like a 1 day contract.
Yeah. But would a 1 day.
Actually, no. Some
are probably.
Some are like two or three. Like, come run. If you run these two meets, we'll give
pay
you
this much. Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of the same thing, but.
Yeah. What's going to make it special, but also is going to lead to a lot of growing pain in the first, like, whatever, how long it lasts, we'll see, is the exclusivity of it. Because especially if you're doing multiple events, this is still why I think, like, for distance running, it only really works if, like, you have a distance running only league. Think about this. There's going to be, like, how many athletes are they going to reliably be able to sign? Like, not that many. If you're doing multiple events, you know what I mean? They're not going to sign... I don't know. I can't imagine doing the signing model if they're doing a lot of different events because it just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. Are they going to sign like 10, 1500 meter runners? And then it's like super exclusive. And then it's like, how do you get into this league? I think eventually there does have to be like a complete overhaul of it where there's like, you know, the top league, and then there's a second league and a third league that like mirror the top league. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how you like work your
relegation.
Like, yeah. like F1, F2, F3. And
yeah. Like I guess again, like all the other sports do yeah. it like that. Essentially, I think it'll have to be like that eventually, but I'm very interested as to see how it goes. I think it can be really successful, and I think it'll especially be successful because it's leading into the Olympics here in the US. I think that's kind of a perfect storm for something like this. Like if there's any time something like this is going to succeed, it has to be
now
in like that kind of ramp up, because there's just going to be so much.
That means they need like NBC on board, because NBC's Olympic coverage is mm-hmm. will be wild for 2028. Mm-hmm. They just like feed it down American TV viewers.
Yeah.
And that's how you create storylines and get the hype going.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to speculate when you don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it is like very American focused.
Mm. Well, my question is with Michael, how is Coffee Club involved? I haven't heard anything. Our phones haven't been ringing.
Yeah, what if
Michael
we just got some fat like media contract with them as well?
Michael hasn't reached out, but I imagine they'll reach out for some sort of contract with us surely at some point. So how are we going to handle that? I guess we can give it to Gus and Tom and they can sort it, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see when that comes in the mail.
I'm expecting a home visit from...
I want Johnson from to fly Kyle, on Kyle. A jet.
From Kyle Membrane himself.
Yeah. Kyle and Michael flying on a jet, and they take us out for a nice seafood dinner, and we talk about it.
We've said it before. I mean, you show us the money, we'll do anything. We have no morals.
If you pray for the rain, you got to deal with the mud too.
Yeah, so we'll be completely supporting this league, and not that we don't support it already, but
no, but we'll be fully in if we're involved in that way. Yeah.
We will only cover the races under contract.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll never talk about them.
We'll just start only covering world athletics. We're going to have to pick a side. Man, wow. I would love if that... You know, this happened in swimming a few years ago. It unfortunately doesn't exist anymore because of the war in Ukraine. Mm. But because it was backed by a swimming league backed by a Russian-Ukrainian. Like, he was both. And I think initially the first year or two, maybe the whole time, there was just mad beef between this league
and by Finna.
It was
actually like crazy to the point where like people were scared of like...
I think what they're saying, like, if you race in this league, like, you can't come to the world. You can't.
Why are the people willing to spend a shit ton of money in sport either from Russia or fucking Saudi Arabia?
Because they have the money, I guess.
The money.
I mean, most of the American billionaires are investing.
Yeah, what the fuck are they spending their money on?
Well, dude, speaking of that,
a bunch of them are American. Like,
they own all the
traveling to practice.
Teams.
That's true.
Traveling to practice today, I saw a Cybertruck for the first time.
Yeah, there's been, I don't know if there's been the same one in Boulder, but
I've seen
a silver one a bunch of times. But do you know who it could be? Well,
Elon's brother, yeah.
He
lives in Boulder, doesn't he?
But, yeah. No, I was going to say Shadur. Scott one.
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
It's definitely not him. I saw the guy in the car. Really? It wasn't him, yeah.
Mm.
It might be Elon's brother.
Wait, how much does a Cybertruck cost?
I don't think the cost is that bad. It's just hard to get, yeah. And they're recalling a lot of them.
Apparently, maybe they're only supposed to be like 100 grand or 90, but they're going for like 200 plus over retail because...
Don't have to be in the wait list.
Because they're hard to find right now. Yeah. So people are spending way more.
Those billionaires are doing crazier shit than investing in the track league. Like Elon and...
They're investing in real companies.
If Zuckerberg or... Who owns the Mavs? What's his name? Mark Cuban?
Yeah. I reckon we could get Mark...
Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Yo.
Or you need Larry Ellison. You know that guy?
Take this to... Who's that?
Oracle?
Oracle.
He sponsors sports, so many sports.
Yeah.
Bunch of sailing.
I mean, they do like cycling.
Aren't they F1? I'm pretty sure Red Bull is Oracle right now. So.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
That Larry Ellison guy,
same with Ineos. Ineos does sponsor Ineos a team in our sport. They sponsor Kipchoge's team.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, who do we have money. How do we get contact with them? We should just...
With what you just said, I think we have to take our ideas to Shark Tank. I think it's obvious now. I have to go on Shark Tank.
How do we even get into that show?
I don't know, but we'll find a way.
Did the Mavs just show up to Shark Tank?
Yeah, that's how that works.
With the basketball, and
that's how he got involved.
Hey, bro, do you like basketball? Do you want to?
You want to buy our?
Do you want to buy our team?
Our shitty team from Dallas.
What if
now they're really good?
What if Mark Cuban's like, I love the podcast, but I can make it bigger I'll give you guys 10%.
And he'll give us 10%. No, we'll give him 10% for what?
No, we'll give him 90% then, and we only have 10%.
Oh, what?
And then
what do we get out of it?
A firm, crisp handshake and a couple $100.
I think that's worth it. Surely. Speaking of, well, it's funny because we're literally just speculating on what rich billionaires in America are doing. And the 776 Invitational, as it's apparently called, weird name, is, I think it's Reddit's co-founder. Or maybe really? It's either Reddit or Snapchat. It's one of like the big ones who's, I think it's the guy that's married to Serena Williams. Could be wrong.
The Snapchat guy's married to Miranda Kerr.
So I think it's Reddit then.
It's Reddit.
I think it's Reddit.
I don't know what this is.
So you haven't heard about the 776 Invitational?
I have not.
It's this
guy.
There's
a good chance to explain it.
It's this guy, super rich American tech guy, maybe the co-founder of Reddit, if my memory serves me correctly.
Fact check that one.
Partnering up with Gabby Thomas, I believe.
Oh, the Women's Only.
Women's Only track.
I did see this.
Track event. Mm. It's just how, so far, they just, apparently it's like an investment in future events, but it's just a one-time thing, no field events. Just track events.
Is it sprints?
Big
or?
Surprise. Definitely sprints because Gabby Thomas.
Yeah, but is it sprints and like will there be a lot of distance ladies in that as well?
Dude.
Do we know?
I don't know. Oh, wait. I'm looking at the notes now. Yeah, it's founder of Reddit. And he also invested in Tom's last startup.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Did that go well?
He no longer works for him. I don't know. Questionable. I don't know. But the big thing with this one, the way they're going about it is just like, they're like, yeah, we're going to give you a shit ton of prize money. $60K for winning.
Only if you're a woman.
Well, only women are allowed to compete. Yeah,
mm.
I believe. So $60K and for the winner, 25 and then 10K.
Wow.
Crazy prize money.
That is crazy.
So much. I don't like, I mean, I love seeing like big prize money figures, but I don't actually think that does much.
Like, in terms of
like
getting people to go, yeah. Or does much in terms of what?
I mean, it definitely gets people to go, but just doing that as a one-time thing, it's like.
God, imagine that 1500 for the women. Like, imagine how crazy that would be.
I guess everyone's going
to
be
everyone
there.
Would go to that 1500, surely.
You have like, to.
The top dogs would be there.
You make enough money to live on for a year in one race.
That's a shit ton of money, man. I guess taxes will come in and then your agent will come in, but still.
So that's so much still money so to much make money. In one race.
So I would watch a 1500 with 60 grand on the line.
El Puro is going to come out and just destroy that race.
That's more than you get for winning the Olympics.
Yep.
Which is another, I mean, maybe not contractually, but.
Definitely not contractually, but yeah. But
yeah, you know what? I rescind my previous statement. That money does do a lot. Definitely does a lot because everyone's going to want to do it and it's going to be so exciting and there's going to feel like there's so much more on the line.
Where is it going to be?
Not sure.
You see?
Is it? What, do they have a time frame of when it's going to
You've got to be US based. It was US like end based. Of the season, right?
I think so. Research let me down once again. But
if we made a male version of that, how would that go down?
The Gussie
I don't think
boys
we could afford it.
Invitational?
I don't think we could afford it, unfortunately. I wonder how many events there is because that's so much prize money.
And then they might be like an 800, 400. 1500.
Yeah. 100. At the end of the day, that's the difference between that's such a big thing that really like really fucks us is there's multiple events because like if you compare out money in our sport to other sports when there's just like one thing in other sports and then you're like, well, whatever it is in our sport, you have to times it like the cost
by 20 something
times it by 10, 20, however many events.
That is the funny thing that like I remember talking about it with people is like, oh. In our sport track and field, what, there's 48 number ones? Because there's 24 events and then male and female.
Is that how many there are?
I believe you.
I think it's 24 events.
I'll take your word for it.
And then it's 48 number ones. In tennis, two number ones.
Takes a little bit of the...
Chicken Boy League, two number ones.
Michael Johnson's league, we'll see how many number ones come out of that league. We'll but see. Yeah, it's a tough sport in that regard because like... I mean,
takes a little bit of the shine.
I don't want to diss other events, but like 70K in the marathon, you get 70K. In walking, you get 70K. In long jump, like it's just so spread out where it's like it's very hard to, it's very hard to quantify the actual cost when you're thinking like, oh, 60K for prize money is amazing. But like, how many
events?
Well,
no one's going to, it just creates a lot of inefficiencies because no one's going to disagree with a statement like it's crazy that the winner of the 100 gets paid the same as the winner of like the hammer throw or the walk.
The walk,
like that's crazy.
Just because of like a viewership and popularity,
Like, that's just the way it is. So yeah, this one will be very interesting, and I don't think there's much news about this one yet either. But it is so cool to see, like, yeah, more money come into our sport from outside, like, non-traditional sources. Yeah.
Again, it would be nice if the Reddit guy, if he's interested in the podcast, I'm sure he's a fan. Like, you know, we're always looking for investors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're interested, just give us a shout out.
I do actually like that he's doing a women's only meet, because, and I think he's probably, if it's who I'm thinking of and he's married to Serena Williams, then I think he's very heavily, like, personally invested in women's sports.
Yeah.
But also, I think from a business standpoint, that's just such a smart idea, because I think the growth of women's professional sports is going to be so big in the coming years. Because even for me personally, in a sport that I follow, like cycling, like, women's cycling is just getting so much bigger. And it is.
Dude, what about women's basketball with
Caitlin
Clark?
Very exciting to follow. Yeah, we were talking about that.
She's made a huge push for that. I feel like people are so more... So much more engaged with her, like, because she's just such a fun player to watch, you know. She's creating a lot of waves.
And yeah, track's a sport where, for sure, like...
you can achieve that.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Track and field is probably one of, if not the most, like, already equal sports for men and women. I feel like it's a lot better than a lot of sports.
For viewership, yeah. Like, tennis
and
is
like
similar in that
financials,
way.
I feel like.
Financially, yeah. I mean, in certain ways, like, women can earn more than men, I would say.
I would say Sydney McLaughlin's getting paid very well. You know? Like, if you put Sydney McLaughlin and Noah Lyles together, I would be paying well. If I was a business, right? Say I'm like a big shoe business, right, and they're free agents and I'm like trying to sign them, I don't know if this is gonna piss people off. I would sign Sydney McLaughlin for way more than Noah Lyles.
That's an interesting take.
I would.
You've given Sydney McLaughlin a lot of hate previously on the podcast.
I have.
For not racing.
I have.
Noah Lyles races a lot.
But who's gonna return my investment more if I did like a Sydney McLaughlin collection compared to a Noah Lyles collection? I think Sydney would. So I would invest more money.
I think right now.
I think she's way more impactful in the sport than Noah. And that's why I would probably pay her more money. But yeah, she needs to race more. That's why my contract would say, Sydney, race more, please. Please race more. Thank you. Everyone wants to watch you race.
Yeah,
and then Noah's just like, just name me every Dragon Ball Z character before you set the 100 and I'll give you an extra 50k.
Yeah, but you're right, George. I think this sport is already very, very equal. But
just an observation.
No, it definitely is. But I just think it's smart. Very smart from this guy. So we'll see how this goes. Just, I guess it makes sense, you know, Olympic year, all this exciting stuff is going to be happening. Just more eyeballs, more injections of money. So hopefully
Debbie Thomas rocks too. She's very popular.
Mm-hmm. She does a lot for the sport. She's good for the sport, Debbie Thomas. Still trying to get on the podcast. But
yeah. We also just mentioned the prize money at the Olympics, which it was funny when World Athletics announced that they were going to pay the winners 50K, I think, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, wait, they didn't make money before?
That was the biggest reaction, was that, hang on a second, it was zero before this?
Yeah. So for those who don't know, like, World Athletics pays a lot, like 50K or whatever, if you win the world champs. I think it's even been more previously, but...
70,
yeah.
For world. So it's still more than winning the Olympics.
But the Olympics, because it's Olympics, they don't believe in paying their athletes.
Amateur.
Yeah, which is crazy because the Olympics makes so much money.
Also, like, there's some sports in the Olympics that are definitely not amateur. Tennis,
well, they don't care
example.
About the amateur thing anymore.
I know,
that
but
was
then...
like 40 years ago.
But then why not, like, the Olympic Committee just start paying everyone just like a...
Because they want to keep all the money.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
They should be paying the athletes.
So World Athletics has stepped in and...
Thanks, Sib.
Yeah, started. Didn't they? Okay, this happened a while ago, and I'm pretty sure, didn't this happen at the same time that there was like some bad news that came out with World Athletics, and then this came out?
Maybe they tried to...
It was the flow track thing.
It's the same time as the flow track thing.
They tried to cover it.
Yeah,
to be honest, though, okay, with the flow track stuff, and I think we've discussed this, but after sitting on it and seeing people like commenting how flow track's ruining the sport... I do think that it's not FlowTrack's fault. I think Morgan or someone...
Yeah, that was my take. That was my
yeah,
take.
I think it was somebody's take that really resonated with me. It's like, it's technically not FlowTrack's fault. It's World Athletics' fault for just like not giving option.
There was so many people. So the news was that FlowTrack has taken over the... they're going to be doing the Diamond League after this year. And so many people, and like people that have a lot of like followers, like influential people, were just absolutely railing Flowtrack for taking over these rights. And it's because I think Flowtrack's cost is like 30 something a month, and I think Peacock's cost is like less than $10, and then you also get all this other cool stuff with it. But I was just like, I mean, that is annoying, yes, and it's going to mean like it's I think objectively like bad for the sport, because it just means way less people are going to be able to watch these events unless you're on the Discord. But I just couldn't believe how much hate Flowtrack was getting for this, because I mean, I'm not like I don't know the exact way that the business side of it worked out, but surely this means that NBC decided, or World Athletics, one of those two, decided that they weren't going to keep going what was happening before. Mm. And I saw some stuff about how for NBC to do the broadcast, they like required a certain amount of money from World Athletics to pay for it, something like that. And then Flowtrack were like, we'll do this, like we'll like pay the money to do the broadcasting stuff for it. So I don't think Flowtrack's the one that you can really get that mad at, because it seems like they were just...
They took an opportunity for themselves.
Yeah, and like they're so small. Like they're so small compared to Peacock, NBC. Yeah. Like if they want to do the Diamond League, they can obviously pay the money and do it. Like they're not going to... Flowtrack is never... If they really want to have the Diamond League, Flowtrack is never outbidding them for the Diamond League and all that. So it doesn't seem like it's Flowtrack's fault to me.
No, I think it's the other side. From when you described that to me when we're World talking Athletics about it. World Athletics or
whoever
NBC.
Whoever owns the Diamond League, I guess. Technically not World Athletics.
Wanda?
They're a big sponsor.
It's a sponsor. It is owned by some... It's owned by some other subsidiary. I don't know.
Yeah.
It should be... Yeah, the Diamond League should just be trying to put it on whatever gets the most viewers, as opposed to whoever pays the most.
The Discord.
The Discord. That's right. This time next year, Coffee Club will get a VPN to sponsor
have our
the
own
pod.
Streaming service.
Coffee Club TV.
Yeah.
And then we'll share the VPN deets with everyone.
Yeah.
And the only cost that you have to entail with Coffee Club TV is to like and subscribe to the podcast.
That's all we ask. Well, this is like such a dumb question because I should know this. Does Peacock show ads during the Diamond League if you watch it on Peacock?
I think there is an ad section, but I don't 100% know, actually.
I think there are ads.
There are ads.
There was ads during your race the other day. That's how I know.
Yeah, I didn't watch. Yeah, so.
But it's just because it's live. Like you just, because it's the live TV part of Peacock.
But you still have to pay for Peacock.
Yeah.
So right now they were making you pay and showing ads.
Yeah. Netflix does that.
Does it?
A lot of
cheap Netflix.
Oh yeah, because now they have the different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hulu does that.
A lot of
even Prime services. Does that. They all do that, I think.
Yeah, Prime does it.
They all do it now, yeah.
Peacock doesn't if you watch a show. There might be ads at the beginning. I don't know.
Maybe you have to watch, like YouTube, you just have to watch.
Double revenue.
But I'm just thinking like Flowtrack, I mean, Flowtrack probably just can't get like ad revenue. Like there's no way they can get ad revenue like these other companies. So I guess they have to charge a lot more. You know,
do we
mean?
Have ads?
We have ads actually.
Yeah. And we'll be back right after this.
And we also charge people a lot to watch it. No, but we do have ads on YouTube, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. We're the bad guys.
We're not the bad guys. YouTube is.
No, we get paid though.
Oh, we do? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Not a lot. I mean, YouTube gets paid more than... I think Google's making more money than us, technically, but
we don't know that yet, if Google's making more money than us. We're not sure like what it means to make money.
We probably pay more taxes than them. Just kidding. We'll never pay. I don't know if legally I can't say anything. That's funny.
We pay a suspiciously similar amount.
Yeah. So probably
moving on.
Trouble for that. Moving on from that.
At least this year it's on Peacock. So get Peacock this year.
Yeah,
so and watch the Diamond League.
Use it this year.
Well, Peacock's just like a legitimate streaming service to have a subscription to.
It's so cheap and good.
It's got actually like decent shows and movies on it.
Now next year though, Prefontaine will just be the big dog Diamond League because it's the only one on NBC still.
Oh, really? That's funny. In America,
classic.
I guess.
Classic.
You know, well, actually, I guess we're just thinking about America because, you know, in... Like when you're in Europe, it's all on like real TV and it's like really well shown.
In Australia, it's on Eurosport.
In a lot of countries, it's on YouTube, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying just VPN, we'll get a VPN sponsor.
Oh, smart. Yeah, I think I think in Australia it was on
Eurosport. Was it? My dad used to
Eurosport.
Watch it.
I think I you can maybe watch it through YouTube as well.
Probably, yeah. Now
I think you can.
That was back in the day.
Yeah, no, you can. I watched the first China one just on YouTube, which is sick. So,
you know, a VPN is one of those things that feels like it's illegal.
Is it not? Is it illegal?
It must have been at some point.
It's like totally legit, but it kind of feels illegal.
It does feel illegal, but it's not. It's not illegal.
No, really. It's good.
Because wow. You can buy a VPN like subscriptions and stuff.
That makes it feel more illegal. That's not helping.
You feel naughty. You feel naughty when you
are. I feel like there are other things like that. I can't think of any, but
that are illegal. Yeah, I think that.
Well, that aren't illegal, but feel like they're illegal.
I was always questioning when I was younger. I used to have like LimeWire, and I used to pirate a lot of music and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was illegal.
That's illegal. I wasn't sure if I would get in trouble or the people providing the service would get in trouble.
Mm. Like, where the hell was LimeWire based?
Great question.
Do you remember that?
I don't know. I had a LimeWire thing as well.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on to Jakob news. He did have a big quote. This we hadn't heard about.
Back to the Jingy Corner.
For like 1 week or something.
Yeah, we're a bit worried actually.
So I don't know what prompted this either, but he had to have
it. Seemed like it was out of the blue. No one was talking about him, so he felt like he had to.
He had to keep it going, keep it rolling.
His quote that blew up at least was, "If I'm not injured or sick, Paris should be a walk in the park." I love this guy so much.
Yeah, it's so good. It is so good.
It's hilarious.
He's so good for the sport. But it's funny because you know that people are just going to react to it in a certain way. Certain people are going to react, and they did actually.
Kerr did
react to it. Yeah,
clap back.
It was kind of boring. He just said something about results.
It was very PC. Yeah. Very PC. Like it wasn't like a Kerr was like. It wasn't like Kerr going, "Jakob, you're an idiot. There's no way you should think like that. You've been beaten." Blah 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 blah. It's Kerr saying like, "Yeah, people worry about other people all the time. I'm just focusing on me." It's like, well, you're obviously not just focusing on you because you're retaliating to a comment made by somebody else.
Wasn't there another part of this article that Jakob quoted, which was a lot more personal? Didn't he say something about...
He was talking about how like...
He said something about his competitors.
Yeah, he was talking about his competitors. Okay, so the way I wrote it wasn't bad though, but people... Maybe you guys are saying that I misread it, but it was more saying that like he knows that the people he competes with have similar goals and similar like mindsets, and he respects his competitors for that. But then he also says there's some people that just like are just like arrogant or just head in the clouds or some sort of like delusional or some sort of thing like that. So he's talking about specific people.
Yeah.
Which I wonder who he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I wonder if it's, I mean, I just wish Yard would say something. I just want Yard to.
I love that he says Paris should be a walk in the park when he's lost the last two major championships in a row. I'm so interested as to how this guy's brain works. I mean, if he's just like master trolling, which I mean, he clearly is, like, it's amazing. I love that he acts as if racing is not hard for him, you know? Do you think there's some truth to that? Do you think like he actually thinks that running isn't hard for him?
I think he wants to push that perception of him being...
Or he's just trying to make it seem like that.
I think it's a perception thing. I think if you go into thinking, "Oh, I can't beat Jakob. There's no way. Like this guy is like so good. He runs like the way he runs, the way he acts, the way he talks." Like if you push an idea so far into your head that you actually believe it, it's true. I think that's what he's kind of doing. Like he believes, like he's pushed this idea in his head so much that he actually believes it.
But think about this. As a competitor, I can't imagine entering a race and thinking like this isn't going to be hard. You know what I mean?
No, but I think he thinks it's going to be hard. I think he prepares himself, but he's not going to tell you that.
But he
wants you to think that he's not going to think it's hard.
He's just playing mind games.
Yeah, he's playing mind games. Yeah. That's 100%. Like he always looks great when he runs. He always runs incredibly well. He's one of the best and most talented athletes around. But it doesn't matter how good you are. Like Yared, for example. Every time I talk to him, he's very honest and says, "Yeah, that freaking hurt." Like, I think Jakob's just putting that perception in your head so that when you're running with him and it starts to hurt, you're probably going to doubt yourself a little. But I don't think it's going to work because, like, his competitors, Mario, Yared, Jake Whiteman's back, Josh Kerr, myself, like, Stewie, like, those competitors know how to hurt themselves and they know how to race hard. Like, I don't know who he's trying to fool here. I mean, maybe he's going to get into people's heads, but maybe specific people. I don't think it's going to affect that many people.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, though.
I'm just impressed by his, like, commitment.
I love it. I think it's great. I mean,
commitment to the bit.
The best thing for him, though, is if he goes and wins Paris, like, he just looks like an absolute, like hero. Like he looks amazing.
Well, no matter what, whoever wins Paris looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter what.
That's true. But if he wins it, it does like heighten that kind of folklore of him.
You know, in my eyes, he's already achieved perfection. There's like,
if anything, his hairstyle has achieved that.
No, just in my eyes, like there's nothing is ever going to achieve like what he achieved, where you have a reality TV show about you for 5 seasons and the last episode is, it starts when you're like a kid and the last episode is you winning the Olympic gold medal. Yeah. Like that's perfection.
Doesn't get much better than that.
So anything else is just icing.
Do you reckon that's why he's saying it? Is because he's like kind of bored? He's like achieved one of the greatest things.
Well, you know they're filming a new documentary, aren't they?
With Amazon, right?
Prime, I think. Yeah.
So he's back.
I think if he just gets in like most people's heads, there's only the list of people that have beaten him is very short.
Mm-hmm. Jared has very beaten short. Him, right?
Jake, Josh, Tefera, basically.
Yep, that's it, yeah.
In the last, since he won the Olympics, basically.
Yeah.
And short list.
Oh, no, Tim's beaten him.
Yeah.
After the Olympics, Tim beat him in the Zurich Diamond League final.
I'm saying.
It's still a short list.
Since.
Yeah, it's still a short list.
So yeah, there's probably some people that he does race against that legitimately do. It does affect him. I like going to the race thinking there's no way I'm beating Jakob today. There's definitely people that think that, that he races against. So, well, good job to Jakob. Let's keep the good quotes going. Mm. He must just be bored over there in Flagstaff. Mm. He's got no one to hang out with.
He's been on the altitude room. That's word on the street.
Really? So does that mean him and Mike Smith are like, dude, they're probably tight?
Maybe they're like bros or something. They must
If he's getting access to those special hallowed halls.
Yeah.
I heard he's, they've been talking a lot about this podcast and then Mike keeps asking who Owen is and Jakob's like, I don't know who Owen is. He's like, no, you race against him, Owen. Like, I don't know who Owen is.
I heard from an inside source that he does like at the track, he does like stairs. He does like, he likes
bleachers.
Bleacher
runs and jumps. I think I used to see that. I think he's always done those.
It's interesting. Yeah. Because you don't hear about many people doing bleachers as pro runners.
Yeah, that's going to be a new threshold. Right? Then everyone's going to be doing it now.
That's actually what's making him so good. It's not the double threshold.
No, it's the fucking...
The stair jumps.
Stair jumps and before the running.
That's something Jake would do.
Yes.
I feel like.
Like plyos.
Jake loves a good plyo.
Love that.
I reckon 80% of Jake's training must be plyo mentoring.
And it works. It works very well. So it's been quite a while since we've entered the coffee cauldron. And I'm just thinking, I don't have the music lined up. I think we have the wrong sound effects here. Just
push a random one.
That's not a sound. Oh, it's turned off here. Sorry. One sec. Oh, it's still the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sound effects. This one's pretty good though. Should we just try and see if this one works? All right, welcome everyone to another installment of the Coffee Cauldron. Let's see, we'll get through a couple today.
This is just...
What's up, guys? I've got kind of like a would you rather question for you all. I guess they're both good, so it's not like your typical would you rather, where they're both bad. My question is, if somebody could guarantee you 5 years of pain-free running, injury-free running... You can put as many miles on as you want. You can go as hard as you want. Would you take that or $5 million cash, not taxed, $5 million after tax, just direct cash infusion of $5 million into your checking account right now? Which one are you taking?
What a hard, that's such a hard question. Thank you so much for that submission. I don't know, have we had that guy before? That voice sounds...
It does sound
beautiful
familiar.
Voice.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't remember if you've...
I think what it boils down to is, do you think you can make more than $5 million training at an unlimited level? Training at a level that no matter what, you don't get hurt.
5 years.
Happen. And you have to be committed to do that because it's still going to be hard.
What do you think happens on the 6 year? Do you think it all catches up to you?
You just can't walk the rest of your life.
Oh, God. I think I have to go with... Option A, the pain-free running, especially considering I've had a few injuries in my time. I think
that means you could do unlimited races.
Unlimited
you could race every single weekend.
Like it's
every
like,
single prize. I mean, you'd have to $1 million a year.
But also, you'll get taxed, and your agent will take that too. So you're gonna have to earn more than $5 million.
But even then, like I think potentially long term, if you have 5 years of
that, what you're getting paid at the end of that 5 years.
I think over time, and like what that could do, like as a professional runner, but even like post. Think about like say like I don't know Mo Farah. He had let's say 5 years. I mean, he had more than 5 years, but he's 5 years of winning like 4 Olympic golds. Set him up for life. Yeah. Like, and probably way more than $5 million.
But this is the question that I'm sorry to be an asshole about this. Do you reckon even with all that unlimited training, you're good enough to be that level?
Not necessarily.
So you're still risking it. You still have to believe, but I'm just saying like you're still risking it. It's still a risk there, whereas like $5 million cash guaranteed.
You could also make
that can also change your fucking life. I'm just being honest.
You could also make a ridiculous YouTube channel of your training that would go super viral.
People would love that. That's exactly the stuff that goes viral.
And then you could make a ton of money.
You could make a lot of money off that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's like all of us do pretty decent through running, but it's like, I mean, if you were really 100% money based, you probably, it's like you don't think like, oh, pro runner straight away, you know? You might choose something else. So, you
probably should choose something else.
Yeah. So I think when it comes to this question, I think you got to just double down and go, I'm all in on running.
Give me five.
I'm choosing five. I think I could make that up. I'd have to back myself to make it up.
I'm choosing option B.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with it?
Pay off my parents' mortgage, buy a big house in Cronulla, and set myself up for life. And then I can still run. I can still be a professional athlete. Can still train, get injured, learn my from my.
You could still make your $5 million, maybe.
You could still make it. But that's my preference. I think that I would prefer just the certainty.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to feel what it feels like to have
injury free like, for 5 years.
Just to know that no matter what you did, you're not.
That could be priceless. That could be like priceless. That's priceless. It's not even like worth a number. It's just priceless. Being able to run without.
What would your training look like?
My stress levels are just zero.
Zero. You're the most relaxed person.
Infinite threshold. Well, actually, infinite VO2 max.
Yeah, you could just do infinite VO2 max.
Infinite speed.
Broken 600s every day.
Oh, it's amazing. All right, that was a great one.
That was really good.
Man, that was so good. All right, moving on to number two of the coffee cauldron. I think this music actually kind of suited, especially because last time it kind of lined up where like the timer got like more dramatic when he was said like $5 million.
Hey guys, my name is Jordan. I found your podcast because I was looking for a coffee podcast.
Easy mistake.
I suck around. But that means I don't really know that much about your background. So I was on Wikipedia reading about Morgan, and it says in addition to his athletic achievements at Newington College, Morgan excelled in the classroom. He finished with an ATAR of 98.95, achieving a band 6, greater than the 90% raw mark in 3 subjects: ancient history, English extension 1, and physics. Can you explain what ATAR is? Band 6, a raw mark, ancient history, English extension 1, and the fact that you went to college twice, Newington and Wisconsin. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordan. This is like the funniest, most random question ever.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
One, I don't know how that information is on my Wikipedia because I don't think I've ever publicly said that. So
somebody's
out. That's probably my mom.
I was about to say 80. Your mom's on your Wikipedia just
shouting me out.
Why is his academic prowess not on here?
And he's asking some very specific questions about how the New South Wales HSC higher school certificate works, which is how we get into like university courses. So it's an amazing question. I don't know, should I actually answer it?
What does ATAR stand for?
It's ATAR, it's a score.
I don't know what it actually stands for, but the way it works is you do all your subjects and you do like a minimum of like 10 credits. And then based on your marks, there's like some algorithm and you get an ATAR and it's like a percentage. So the max you can get is 99.95 for your ATAR. And that means that you're in the top 0.05% of the state. So then when it comes to getting into university courses, if you want to do, let's say, science at Sydney Uni, there'll be an ATAR cutoff of 90. Mm. So the top 10% can get into this course. And so, yeah, I got an ATAR of 98.95.
Damn.
So I was up there.
I was 93, which I was really proud of.
Which is very good.
I got band sixes.
Band sixes is like...
It's like that's like the 90 something plus.
Yeah, that's like above 90, I think, in a subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took maths extension, English extension, ancient history and physics. That was it.
Really?
That's all I took. Yeah.
I took PhD because minimum my mom.
Credits.
PhD for my mom. I took general maths. I took advanced English, and then I took modern history, and then I took biology. So, I mean, I feel like our schooling is quite good for preparing for college. He said that did you go to college
it's
twice?
It's really hard, yeah.
Even college is a high school.
That's the only thing I can contribute to, is I would get that question a lot by going to school, a high school that was named something collegiate.
Yeah, it's not it's just a high school.
It's just the name.
Yeah, Trinity Grammar School is where I went, Newington College is where Morgan went, but they're both high schools.
It's just like if you put college at the end, it's kind of just sounds like fancy. It's like the older private schools will have college like or 18, grammar.
Whatever the
fuck, yeah. I don't know where they come from, probably England.
England, yeah.
What subjects did you take, George?
My last year?
Pharmacology? No, that's to do
pharmacology, drugs. Agriculture?
Calc, physics, chem, geography, PE.
Nice.
Wait.
You didn't take English?
You didn't take English?
Not my last year.
You don't have to. That's the only one.
Yeah, we had to take it.
I got to the required level of English my second last year.
Oh, nice. Well done.
I actually really enjoyed English. Advanced English was my band six. I loved it. So
I took Cambridge the year before. So I did like a Cambridge level English that was high enough to not do it.
That's sick.
There's so much writing.
I believe
that. Yeah, I was sick of it. A lot of reading, a lot of writing.
I believe that. I heard they're pretty smart over at
Cambridge. Won the geography prize though in my school. Three years in a row.
Really?
Geography was my shit.
How do they assess that? Is it just like, what's its capital?
What's the capital of this random country?
Okay. I am good at that.
I know you are. That's why.
I think it was not. I think it was just like your score. I don't actually know.
Yeah.
What's the capital? What's the capital of Yemen?
Of which one?
Yemen.
Yemen.
I know you know this.
I don't know it.
Oh, I always do it from Schwabe. It starts with an S.
Really putting us on the spot here.
Yeah. Sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
I have no idea what it is.
Don't know.
It is. That's a pretty random country to say, but
no, I mean,
it's a good one.
You want to tell us what it is?
Sanaa. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sanaa. S A A N A. I think that's I might have butchered that spelling, but it starts with an S. And it's,
I think
it's
there is a double A or something. Sanaa. I think I've seen that written down.
Schwabe, I'm sorry if I butchered that. yeah.
Well, geography gets a bad rap, I would say.
I hated geography before year 11 and 12, and then people that did it, they loved it. And I was like, shit, maybe I just got a really bad teacher or something.
It's a good subject.
I feel like it was more like population stuff.
I feel like it's
interesting.
It's about like how countries work and stuff.
Yeah. It's super interesting.
It's kind of about everything. It's kind of everything in a way. But
it's everything and everything.
Yeah. So that was our high school days. So hopefully now
that's been cleared up. Morgan's a genius, actually.
You know a bit more about us and where we come from, and then you can now continue to listen to this Running Base podcast.
Sometimes have coffee in it, but sometimes not.
Occasionally. All right, final cauldron today. Let's see what we got.
I'm a thrower who got into running via the Coffee Club Pod, hashtag good for the sport.
Love that.
My question for this group is, which one of you would be the best thrower and what would you throw? My picks would be, Ollie would be an unbelievable javelin thrower just because I feel like self-hatred fuels that. Beamish would be an unbelievable discus thrower because of his long levers and textbook finish, important for the discus. And I'm going to go Hammer for Morg because he seems to love pain in every aspect. So, yeah, that's my pick. Really appreciate what you guys do. Let me know.
Damn, he kind of answered it for us a little bit.
How can we do better than that?
He didn't say shot put, which was interesting, because shot put's like the one throw that's like very like the pinnacle of throwing.
I'm not surprised.
Which is
didn't
not
say
surprising.
I'm not surprised by that.
We don't exactly look like the pinnacle of throwing.
No. Javelin, I practiced a bit of javelin back in the day.
Javelin's cool.
Yeah.
If it was shot put, I would definitely say Morg could throw the shot the furthest.
Probably.
I don't know if I could get off the ground.
Actually, no, I'm actually strong. I'm stronger than I look.
I think Ollie for javelin makes sense because of his Nordic roots.
Mm.
I don't know.
And
if
I think
true.
There's like quite a lot of hamstring involved in javelin for some reason, because it's kind of like a
the crazy thing
a
about
bit
javelin,
powerful like single leg RDL thing at the end.
Yeah.
The crazy thing with javelin too is if you look at those guys, like their upper body, dude, their backs
Yeah. And you, are you
insane.
I feel like it's kind of like swimming butterfly, like, you know, big extension, and Ollie's good at that.
But the technical thing is where I would lose it, because I'm not very good with technical stuff, and javelin is extremely technical. Yeah. You also have like one of the best javelin throwers in the world.
It's just a big spear.
We have two, actually. We have Mackenzie Three. Little. Three. Mackenzie Little, Kelsey Barber, and who's the other one?
I forget her name.
There is another one. You're right. Oh, shit. Sorry, but we have some really good javelin throwers, so maybe we could get some lessons.
Yeah. I think, I mean, Ollie, now that I think about it, your swimming background, I think, definitely helps. I mean, you played some sports using,
you're
you
athletic.
Played tennis and stuff, yeah. So.
You could do jav. Yeah. All three of us. I think we should do an episode where we just do throws and see how we go.
I wonder what our best throw would be. I do, if you just look at, like, body types, javelin does seem like, I mean, there's some massive fucking javelin throwers. But well, compared to the other
Indian guys, mm-hmm. massive.
They're massive, but
they're not massive compared to Ryan Krauser.
Yeah,
no, Krauser's
they're tiny Krauser's compared to Ryan Krauser.
As a gladiator, yeah.
Who are the smallest throwers?
I'm thinking it's javelin.
It's probably because they have to do the most running.
Yeah, mm. yeah. Well, that is the big difference between javelin and the other ones, is that it doesn't involve running,
like a run up. Yeah,
yeah.
I want to see Tom Walsh throw a javelin. That should be great. Tank. His sprinting is—he's actually really fast.
Probably could throw really far.
It's just such a different movement to what they do, but I don't mind George doing discus as well, because I think it's very technical.
I mean,
they're all technical. They're all extremely technical, but I think you would iron out those that spinning pattern and just be able to launch that thing.
And the textbook finish, I liked how he added that. I think that's very true, very accurate.
Don't have a lot of ballet in my background, but I feel like
you can. Are you a good dancer? I've danced with you a little bit, but
specifically in a spinning maneuver. Not sure if that's my strong suit.
You can train that.
We can train it.
Hammer throw, I mean, I forget that's an event at times. So
yeah,
that's kind of a bit of a curveball.
Okay, shot put or hammer throw or
no? I love it though. I love hammer throw, because that's like that's a scary one.
Scary.
That shit is scary. Having to like spin and time that throw.
I'd love seeing your face when it goes through, and you just go, "Oh, it actually went through."
Think about the learning curve involved in that. And I love that he did include the pain side of it, because I reckon it would be so painful. I can't imagine how destroyed your body gets like when you start doing that.
Particularly you have to do 6 attempts probably, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't remember your name, whoever submitted this, but I think that your transition from being a thrower to being a distance runner was probably a lot more smooth than our transition would be going the opposite direction.
Yeah, when we retire from
but
running.
But I'm willing
to try. Yeah, we'll give it a crack.
So that'd be fun one day. One day we'll get Tom Wang to show us how to do it. Go back to his decathlon roots. But yeah, that's it for today. Some amazing coffee cauldron at the end there. It's been fun. We haven't done that one for a minute. But a nice chill episode today. Is there anything that we missed? Anything else to cover? Not really, huh?
I think so, yeah.
We're just in grind mode here right now, just chilling.
Oh, wait. The last time we had the podcast, did we wish you a happy birthday? I think you were in China.
Well, no, last time we did one here already.
But we didn't say anything.
I think I meant to. I think I thought about it right
before. Forgot about it, but
right
let's bring
before.
It up there. Happy birthday, Morse.
I wish myself happy birthday on George's episode.
Wait, did you?
Well, in the intro, because I gave a birthday shout out to someone else. Oh. So I was like, I think I said it's also
nice.
My birthday.
Okay, well, happy birthday, delayed birthday, Morse. We still have to do something here in Boulder, and please, people, spam Morgan's inbox. Wish him happy birthday or late belated happy birthday.
28 years young.
Yeah.
I got the best birthday present from Cinta. Did she tell you guys about it?
No.
It was hilarious, because she's like, all right, like, we got to pick a day when you don't have anything in the afternoon, evening, block it off, and it's a surprise. She loves surprises. I like surprises as well. I just get really like afraid of, like, scared of them. And I had no idea what I was like, what possibly could we be doing, like, what do I like? Like, I was like, what do I like? And I couldn't think of, like, what would be, you know, like, what would make sense to surprise me. And she absolutely nailed it. She put a blindfold on me. I walked into, it was pretty bad, actually. She's like, I was so scared in the blindfold. I get out of the car, I open the door, I slam the car next to me.
Oh, shit.
Kind of bad. Carrying on though,
Did get in the car? Like, you had to go the whole car ride?
She's like, at a certain point when we got into Boulder, she's like, all right, put a blindfold on now. And then she walks me into a place, and instantly the smell hits me. I'm like, oh, we're at a spa. And she took me to like a fancy, nice spa, and we got like a 2-hour couples massage.
That's perfect.
And I was like, fuck, this is amazing. This is,
yeah,
like,
is right up Morgan. Yeah, that is funny right there. Yeah, it's that's, she's probably just gone like, that's good brownie points for a long time. She's nailed, like, it.
Oh, was, yeah, it like a, like not a, not ever. A sports massage, just, no, like a
relaxation, like a, yeah, full
just
on.
A nice oily rub.
Yeah, like they offer
just
you
a
like
nice oily rub.
They offer you like alcohol or drinks before, like, yeah, tea. We got the hot stone massage.
Oh shit.
It was just a nice tranquil music. And also, yeah, just from her, like an amazingly smart, like, gift, because it was a couple's massage. So she also got one next to me.
Yeah. So that she got smart from her. Yeah. She got to enjoy it with
she
you.
Gets the same gift.
But I'm guessing that you would have enjoyed that with her. Like, it was
100%. Yeah, it improved my experience.
Increased your birthday gift.
So
having
much.
Her with it. Yeah.
So, yeah. I, like, after leaving that, I was like, yeah, if I was super rich, I would try and be frugal about many things. However, I would have a membership to like a day spa or something like that. Somewhere that I can get massage and like go on like a sauna or that type of thing. That's where I treat myself. So yeah, she nailed it. So
awesome. Mm. Lovely,
yeah,
to hear it.
But thank you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate them. But yeah, with that, another lovely episode out of the way, 136. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. Bye-bye. Coffee Club.